is Radio Free Cybertron, hosted by Brian Kilby with J.D. Church, John DeLuna, XV, Amy Morgan, Peter Van, and Rob Clay. For the latest Transformers news, visit tformers.com.
This is Radio Free Cybertron. It is November 14th, 2012. It is right now when I'm saying this. When you listen to it, God knows when it'll be. It'd be like 2050. So, hello me from the future.
Well, no, not hello you. You'll be dead by then.
Yeah, you'll be what, 80-something?
70.
In 50 years?
That's 38 years.
Oh, come on. Who's counting?
Yeah. So, I'll be around. So, yeah, but this is Radio Free Cybertron, the Transformers Internet Radio Show, one of the world's first podcasts, the official podcast of tformers.com. I am Brian Kilby. With me, I have Rob Clay, XV, and John DeLuna. Gentlemen, no JD this week. He is off somewhere with his father doing fatherly and son-like things, whatever fathers and sons do together. I don't really know. I know what they did, like, in sitcoms in the 80s. They had, like, heart-to-heart talks about, like, sex and drugs and things like that. My father really didn't do anything but sit in the corner and watch TV. I hope that's not what they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder, you know, JD's father is a minister, so I wonder how that changes the math in terms of father-son activities.
His father's trying to convert him right now, I'm certain, is probably what's going on. Or he's trying to exorcise him. Not, like, make him exercise, but, like, exorcise him of the demons that have befallen him.
I mean, either way.
Yeah.
Although, from what J.D. says of his father's life before becoming a minister, I would think that J.D.'s father would probably, you know, respect his son's feelings on all that, so
yeah,
he probably doesn't try to convert him.
Now, his dad is pretty awesome. I've not met his dad, but
the stories we've been told are something else.
Yes, the stories are pretty tremendous.
The stories we've been told are kind of inconsistent with the kind of person you would expect to become a minister later in life.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're going to go ahead and jump into the news. There's no news desk this week for whatever reason. JD didn't record it, so.
Yeah, well, let's blame JD. Down with that.
Let's blame JD.
JD ruined my show, so it's only fitting.
Yeah. So BBTS is doing individual pre-orders as opposed to, like, a case for the Dark Energon exclusives that they have. Is anybody getting any of these?
No.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah.
Now, I'll admit the Megatron is more tempting when you can buy it by itself and not with a boring Optimus redeco, but I'm still not that into it.
Yeah, my buying habits lately, it's been real, as far as toys go, have been really selective. And I'm not going to do it. I'm just not buying any of them. Not because some of them aren't bad. I think that one Bumblebee, is it? Looks halfway decent, or am I thinking it looks halfway terrible?
Yeah, both could be true at the same time.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah,
it's Schrodinger's Bumblebee is what it is.
I would buy it if it was that. You know what? This I guess really kind of goes back to, like, our discussion a couple weeks ago when we talked about how, like, toy hunting for some of us isn't quite the fun it used to be. It's like, like, all my money, all my fun money is locked up in pre-orders and other things. And if I'm not into the main line, like the Prime line, I'm not going to be into, like, a fairly random redeco limited line of those molds.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Well, it's not all random. I mean, Wheeljack is kind of slicery, and the Starscream's in Skywarp colors.
And it's based on the Robots in Disguise, or the versions, right? Or is it
based? It's the first edition Starscream. It's the only deluxe Starscream there is.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great mold. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm very excited that Slipstream is based on that mold from the Transformers Collectors Club set. I just don't need to buy it again.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to buy it once.
Oh, you don't have it. That's right. How did you not get that the first time around?
Because it wasn't in a store.
Yeah.
Triplet picked up a couple.
Triplet,
well, congratulations to Triplet.
They're, I wouldn't say they're peg warming, but the first edition stuff now has kind of like shown up and started to sit a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I'm planning to be around Toys R Us sometime in the next few weeks, so I'm going to try to correct for this.
The only thing I saw was the entertainment pack set, and I just didn't want it.
Around here, the first edition stuff, I saw it once, and it was all gone the next time I went. It actually sold around here, and I have no idea why.
Yeah.
It definitely sold the first couple times here. It's just now they've restocked at least twice here. It's finally starting to kind of settle.
And I think all of the exclusive stuff Toys R Us has taken on this season, as we get in closer to Christmas, it's going to start piling up again.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's going to be like the Masterpiece stuff. I think they've got a lot more of this to work with.
Probably. Hey, so this is... I found this really interesting, and I didn't realize this until I got an email from Big Bad Toy Store, like most of you probably did today, with the news. I got confirmation from Twitter, G.I. Joe Collectors Club, Fun Pub, is doing a second run of their 2012 convention-exclusive box set. I mean, it's. I thought those were convention exclusives. I thought that was the point of them. But they're doing a second run. Not complaining, because I would like to get a second run of, you know, some of the Transformers sets that have come out in the past. It would be
They won't do those.
But they're convention exclusives. It's part of going to the convention. I doesn't compute.
I'll be interested to see if these sets are, like, with the box and everything, or just, like, you know, the extra sets you could get just in bags. That's kind of something I'm curious about. I wouldn't be surprised if they tried to keep the box exclusive.
Hmm.
Maybe. I mean, I don't think it said one way or the other. Let me go back to the tweet and see if it implies. Second run. Let's see what the G.I. Joe shop says. Chose the box.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, the set on G.I. Joe Club's store shows the box. I wanted that set, but I'm not dropping like $360 on it.
Somebody obviously was, but...
Yeah, I mean, no, there's a lot of demand for this one. I remember this one, I think it's because of the October Guard. G.I. Joe fans really love the October Guard. I kind of wanted it for the... all of the Iron Grenadiers, but it's a nice looking set. But it just kind of bothers me a little bit that it was the convention set, and now you can just buy it on the internet in a second run.
Well, speaking as we mentioned before, the only person here who didn't go to BotCon this year,
Yeah. I mean, it only bothers me in the sense that they've explicitly said in the past, like when they were justifying the high cost of the sets back when FunPub took over BotCon, it was like, you know, it's part of the convention experience. You go to the convention, you get the set. It's exclusive to that. It's exclusive to that convention. It's part of going. Now it's kind of that's been reneged on.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, like they even said they'd go out of their way to preserve the value. So
yes,
like,
that's it.
Yeah, in theory, they would sit on extras, even.
Yes, that's exactly right. Preserving the value.
They certainly sat on extras of the 2005 box set for the next 5 years.
They did.
And they never lowered the price of them because they had to preserve that value.
I'm not going to argue. I'm not going to whine and complain. I wish they would do another run of some of the sets. I mean, even the one set that I picked up, I would not care. I don't care about the value of the set. I just kind of disingenuous a little bit, but, you know.
Yeah.
The protecting the value thing, too, is just a symptom of FunPub not understanding this fandom.
Yeah.
Because the people who are concerned with that are the extreme minority.
Yeah, absolutely.
Matter of fact, you would generally think that G.I. Joe fans would be the ones more concerned about this in general than Transformers fans would be.
Yeah, they're older and all that. And yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, again, that goes back to, you know, the G.I. Joe convention originally being for the 1/6 scale stuff, and that was a major league collector's market.
Yeah. Yeah,
the price on that stuff has been obscene my entire life. So weird.
Yeah. So it looks like we're getting some Transformers movie-themed ornaments, and they're hideous.
Oh, licensing fun.
Yeah, I mean, look at
this.
Well,
they're based on movie designs. Of course they're hideous.
So people watching live or watching the video, look at this. It's awful. If you're not, go to tformers.com and check them out. I would not want that on my Christmas tree. I would feel that my Christmas...
Now, if you want to go for a more do-it-yourself approach to this, you can go to the store and get a lot of those dollar paring knives and glue them together into a ball, and you will have a fair approximation of Megatron's movie face.
Yeah, I mean, the Bumblebee is nowhere near as bad. It's just boring. But Megatron, my God. I don't get that. I don't get that at all. Why would you want that? I mean, that's just like wrong. Let's see here. What else do we have? Oh, okay. So, we have our first look at the Transformers Prime Beast Hunter Cyberverse Commander Optimus Prime.
Say that three times fast.
Yeah, I have to enunciate on that one. Like, it's a. Is this a render? Or is that an actual shot?
This is a blow-up of a very tiny image.
It looks pretty cool.
It sure is a thing.
It is what it is. It's there.
It sure is a red box with limbs.
I don't have the Cyberverse Optimus Prime from Prime. Is this a modification of the same mold, or is this new?
It's really difficult to tell because of the picture, but I'd be really surprised if it isn't just a modification of the existing mold.
Just like bulkhead.
Yeah, if you look at the legs especially, there seem to be parts wrapped around there specifically, and there are no parts that correspond to that on the existing one, so yeah, I'm betting there's just extra pieces stuck on here.
Yeah. We'll probably see this when first of the year.
Sometime around then, I imagine.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be surprised if some of them start filtering out like the week before Christmas. If enough Prime stuff...
basically.
Yeah. If enough Prime stuff moves before then for anybody to need to put anything else out.
It won't.
Yeah. So, XV. You may have to tell me some more about this one. We have
let me see what it is.
The Transformers Prime, Beast Hunters, Weaponizers, Bumblebee, Optimus Prime, Ultra Magnus, with Battle Hammer. So, it looks...
Wait, okay, you know what the Weaponizers are, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so, it's a solicitation for the next assortment of them, and in addition to Optimus and Bumblebee again, there's going to be a Weaponizer Ultra Magnus toy.
Is it based on... have we seen this one before?
Well, we've seen Prime Ultra Magnus before in Cyberverse and now Voyager.
Okay.
And now there's going to be yet another one, even bigger.
Yeah, so at 35 pounds, that's pretty steep.
Well, yeah, but it'll be the Weaponizer price here, which is about $30.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, let's see here.
You know how price conversions work for Transformers in England? They drop the dollar sign and put a pound sign there instead.
Yeah, you know. It's funny, though, because you would think that it would be... Well, no, I mean, I guess if the shipping is... If it comes in, like, in San Francisco or in California and is from Asia to the U.S., that would be closer than from, like, China overseas, I guess, to the U.K. I guess they could use the Suez Canal... I'm just trying to think of my geography. How would they get that from China? I mean, they wouldn't go all the way down across from Africa. They would actually come up through the Suez Canal to get that. So it would still be quite a bit of shipping, but it wouldn't be quite as much. So that's the reason that the price in dollars it's comparable, because the dollar is worth less, of course, than the pound. Now shut up now. I'm getting that.
What
look.
Just happened?
I'm thinking out loud.
I think Brian just started sure mentally writing the wiki page for Transformers shipping routes is what happened.
Yes, that's exactly. Yeah. I'm sorry. That's exactly what happened. Well, you know they don't transport that like across country, boundaries, like on a truck.
No, they use pack mules.
That's true. Or they could, I don't know, they could float it on balloons.
That's just ridiculous.
Man. This whole thing was ridiculous. The last 3 minutes have been...
That didn't take 3 minutes.
Well, it felt like more.
Like, yeah. It's like 40 seconds of rambling.
Oh.
Mm. I had to think that one out. It's the reason I asked for help.
Oh, we know.
I love the sepia-toned XV, just looking so frustrated there.
On another note, changing topics.
Yeah, he looks like my great-grandfather looked in photographs. It's pretty great.
He does kind of look like an Instagram, doesn't he?
He does. XV is Instagram.
How awful.
That is true. What is wrong with your camera that's causing that?
So trendy.
I told you that's the color of my skin this week.
No, did you change your lighting or something? Or are you using fluorescent bulbs now?
I've always been using fluorescent bulbs.
So your camera's probably set to like natural light or something.
I don't think it even has a natural light setting.
That works too. Okay, let's see here.
Don Sad Riker. Very sad.
You're Riker from Time Zero Part 2. That's what you are. You're Riker from Time Zero Part 2. Okay, so... Oh, God. I didn't... Triplett and I were talking about that a couple weeks ago, and I had forgotten that that Samuel Clemens was played by the cigarette-smoking man from The X-Files.
Okay.
That just weirds me out to think about that. Just one of those things. Just doesn't compute. Because I just think of him as being, like, pure evil. And Samuel Clemens is being like, this jolly, happy, orator and writer. But, oh well. So let's go ahead and jump to...
Have they done Sam Clemens Vampire Hunter yet?
No.
Because that should totally be a thing.
That could work.
That would work.
I would read that. And
it doesn't necessarily have to be Vampire Hunter, just, some kind of random adventurer.
Or maybe like, Mark Twain vampire bigot, then you basically take all of his books and then rewrite it to where he like throws in like vampires and he just writes like very mean, terrible terms about them. That would not sell at all. Nobody would buy that. God, I would go so broke as a mashup writer. Yeah, that boat sailed.
Well, it doesn't cost anything to publish on the internet.
Yeah, that's true. That whole ship has sailed. I think once Sense and Sensibility and Sea Monsters came out, that just no need. Actually, for the record, though, all of the Pride and Prejudice and Zombies books, the sequel and the prequel, are both very good. So those two and the original are actually excellent. I think the spinoff books are better than the original, than the source. So if you ever get bored and want to read them, I really like them. I really like Dawn of the Dreadfuls and Dreadfully Ever After, as well as the Pride and Prejudice and Zombies. And Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter is a great book. Not great movie, but it's a great book.
I enjoyed the audiobook version you played on the way to Oklahoma.
Yeah, I really like it. The movie, not so much. If you watch the movie and realize that it's like self-parody, or if you look at it and think of it in terms of like commentary on Hollywood movies, it's not bad. But I don't know that that's what Seth Graham Smith was going for. I sure hope it was. But yeah, movie really, really sucked. Okay, so let's go ahead and jump to something else that sucks. It's The Core. From Transformers Generation 1, this week on Transformers Rewind. We will be back right after this.
Radio Free Cybertron.
Transformers Rewind.
Transformers!
Because you can never have enough ACOM episodes. This week on Transformers Rewind, it's The Core.
What's the matter, Chip?
I guess I was hoping Devastator might join the Autobots for good, but that's probably just a dumb old dream.
Hang on to your dreams, Chip. The future is built on dreams. Hang on.
The Decepticons are drilling underground to tap energy from Earth's core, but a fissure forms in the rock. Mixmaster's quick seal job narrowly prevents catastrophic failure. Starscream thinks this is all a bad idea and figures the planet will crack like an egg instead of yielding unlimited energy. Some Autobots are cruising around the area and notice the Constructicons, who then notice them noticing.
Constructicons, transform and merge into
Devastator!
Headquarters. And an extended fight with Devastator ensues, during which Mirage is able to turn invisible and get inside the drilling operation and learn the plot of the week. Back at Autobot headquarters, Wheeljack and Chip unveil the Dominator discs, which they can use to take control of Devastator. And so a stealth operation is engaged, and discs are secretly attached to each Constructicon. Except somehow Megatron knows exactly what's happening and for what purpose. And he lets it proceed so he can turn the tables on the Autobots later. And sure enough, when Devastator forms, the Autobots gain control of him.
Here we go, Wheeljack! Good luck!
My digital units across, Chip!
Put me down, Devastator, and attack the Decepticons!
Yes, Optimus Prime, I obey!
Retreat! Retreat!
Jack, we did it! We did it!
Come on, Chief, let's finish them off!
There's no need. They're trapped.
Devastator is able to trap the Decepticons in their cave, and with no water supply, they can't drill anymore. The Autobots leave, since there's no hurry in finishing things up. Inside, Starscream laments the situation, but Megatron says, hey, it's all cool. They have a reserve of water to drill with, and he has a device to override the Autobot remote control. At the Autobot base, an earthquake alerts them to the restarted drilling, and the Autobots and Devastator head out to put an end to it. So Megatron uses his controller, Wheeljack tries to power up his controller, and they fry Devastator's mind. Devastator goes on a rampage, wrecking the drill controls, and Megatron escapes Space Bridge in the adjacent cavern. The Autobots and Decepticons now have to work together to save themselves. Wheeljack and Chip use both controllers to neutralize the Dominator discs, and the restored Devastator is sent to stop the drill from penetrating the Earth's core. The Decepticons flee in fear, but Devastator stops the drill at the last possible moment. He's a little surprised by Megatron's absence when he returns to the surface, but assures the Autobots and Chip that Megatron only left so he could fight another day, and then leaves himself.
Follow me! You've got work to do, and fast! Only 2 minutes to the core!
2 minutes till the Earth dies.
Ten seconds. One second!
Right, Chip?
Yeah, I think so.
The drill stopped!
It's Devastator!
Well, what have you done with Noble Megatron?
I'm afraid Mr. Nobility's busy saving his own neck.
Wrong! He
withdrew to fight Autobots another day. You haven't heard the last of Megatron.
And let me tell you, that summary is probably slightly more entertaining than the actual episode.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you need proof once again that the Autobots are dicks, this really kind of helps solidify that idea. It's like, what would be a great idea? Brainwashing a Decepticon into being an Autobot.
No. Brainwashing 6 Decepticons.
Oh, okay. Yes.
6 or 7, depending on how you want to look at it.
Yeah. With a Dominator disc. I mean, is it leather? I mean,
it is a very Decepticon-y plan, isn't it?
Yeah.
Nobody really comments on that either.
Yeah, it's awful.
I was thinking about that point a little bit, and if this had been later in the season after the Secret of Omega Supreme, this actually wouldn't have seemed so bad because it could be interpreted as, okay, they're just undoing the Robo-Smasher reprogramming on the Constructicons and returning them to neutral status. But it didn't. No.
I don't even think that works at this point. You know, it's still kind of like, well, wow.
You know, other than just like the total dick plan the Autobots have, this really could just be a season one episode. I mean, it's just so generic and it's just there. I mean, it's not just like a total cluster like some of the season two episodes that we've encountered like so far. I mean, it's not a solid episode by any stretch, but it's certainly not the biggest nightmare that we've seen.
Well, yeah, and I mean, yeah, something's wrong when Starscream is the only one with any bit of sense.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
Yeah. You know, when Starscream is the one like, look, this is a really bad idea. This is so bad. We should not be doing this. Megatron's like, shut up. I got a space bridge.
Yeah, don't talk to me. Don't talk to me, bro. Also, when he like actively stops Starscream from killing, I think 4 or 5 Autobots, just so they can kill them later.
Yeah, that is like sense.
Okay. Yeah.
I was a little confused by that one myself because when it came back around to turning Devastator back on them, there was still only 6-7 Autobots there.
Yeah.
So
Megatron is a bad leader. That's what we're saying.
I mean, I think that becomes apparent.
I mean, it's not like he's Marvel Comics Megatron, but yeah, he's not doing so well this week.
Yeah. Now, here's the part that really confuses me, though. You get to the end of the episode, and Chip is all like, aw, shucks. And they're like, what's wrong, Chip? We come over to our side. And I'm like, whoa!
It's like I wish that giant walking nightmare was my best friend.
I know, dude. Do you understand that you just brainwashed that thing into following your commands? You did one of the worst things that you could possibly do to a sentient being. Optimus Prime's own motto is freedom is the right of all sentient beings. And he went along with it. And you don't understand why he didn't become your friend? What the hell is wrong with these people?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, so did you like Prime's generic, his generic consolation was like, well, it's a dream, and dreams are all we've got, so keep on holding on to your dream.
Keep on holding on to that dream of brainwashing people into being your friends. Jeez. This is awful. Autobots are awful people.
They're not even people.
I remember watching this episode during G2, and it's just like, at that point, I didn't really realize all the things that were wrong with it, but because of the memory I have associated with it, I watch it, and I can still just, you know, sit and enjoy it, all the flaws notwithstanding.
Oh, yeah, I love it. It's great. I remember watching it as a kid, but still, it's like, wow.
Yeah, I mean, when you come back to it later and you actually are thinking about what the episode is saying and doing, it's like, wait, what?
If people are bad, it's okay to brainwash them into helping you.
Yes. That's exactly the moral.
or having sex with you.
Yeah, or having sex with you. It's okay to drop them roofies.
So where does Kiss players fit into this philosophy?
Oh, God.
Well, right in the middle. Dead center.
Radio Free Cybertron will return after these messages.
In a cold, far away world.
This is Stan Bush, and you're listening to Radio Free Cybertron. Fighting the war for Cybertron. Till all are one.
Transformers, defenders of truth. Robots who fight in disguise. Transformers.
Now, in the palm of Optimus Prime's hand are the incredible MicroMaster battle stations. MicroMasters are the only micros that transform.
MicroMaster Transformers, the most incredible micros of all.
MicroMaster battle stations, sold separately. Optimus Prime is under attack. He needs the greatest Transformers ever.
Optimus, we're here as Pretenders.
Jazz, Bumblebee, you're back. And me, Grimlock.
And the evil Starscream is here, too.
Beyond anything you've ever seen before. Transformer, Classic Pretenders.
The greats are here as Pretenders. Classic Pretender Transformers. Jazz, Bumblebee, Starscream, and Grimlock.
Me, Grimlock, attack.
Transformers! Download RFC's Android app. Go to tfradio.net/android.
They're here. New Ultra Pretenders. Inside each vehicle is another incredible pretender.
Beyond anything you've ever seen before. Transformer Ultra Pretenders.
The ultimate Transformer experience. Transformers. Now the Decepticons have Monster Pretenders. Monster Pretenders with rubbery skin.
Beyond anything you've ever seen before. Transformer Monster Pretenders.
And their robots form a monster Transformer.
Transformers!
We now return to Radio Free Cybertron.
It's fantastic. It's a great episode. Next week, we will be doing Hoist Goes Hollywood. So That
certainly is another episode.
Yeah, that was created in the 80s.
Yeah.
With Transformers.
Yeah. We should probably lay off the G1 for a while.
Please. Maybe so.
Please. Yeah, let's do some more Beast Wars. Or, God, we haven't gone Unicron Trilogy yet, have we?
Ugh.
Is that in the next batch that we are recording?
No.
Just print out like a list of the episodes and throw a dart at it and see what happens.
Can we do another? So after Hoist Goes Hollywood, we'll be doing A Life Can Be Sacrificed for Peace on Earth from The Headmasters, which I love so much.
The dub version, of course.
We could totally go for another dub episode. Maybe something from Master Force. Or I do have that DVD. It's not a dub. It's a sub of Zone. A lot of people haven't seen Zone, which is it's kind of sad because it's fanboy and crazy and violent and awesome and awful all at the same time.
All in the space of 17 minutes.
Yeah. So if I would totally be up for Zone, I can sort of possibly get the video into the hands of whoever needs to see it. It's probably on YouTube.
But what I would be interested in doing is part of the Victory dub.
Yeah.
So getting that for us.
Yeah. I used to have all of that until I lost my hard drive.
We talked about this once before, but you need to actually do something about it.
Yeah. I haven't watched Victory in so long. I would definitely have to watch the episode a couple of times to have it down. Of course, which is totally worth it because it's the dub.
Well, yeah.
So, this month, we're doing, we're not doing a live show next week because it's, Thanksgiving, American Thanksgiving. And the day after Thanksgiving in the U.S. is, historically called Black Friday. It goes back to the ancient times when the Aztecs and the Toltecs gave, you know, the settlers fire and taught them how to. No. So basically it's a place where retailers in the US sell lots of crap, and it's awesome. So later on in the show, we're going to be talking about some of the Black Friday deals around Transformers. Surprisingly sparse this year, honestly. But if you are in a retailer this next week on Black Friday, and if they have a deal on Transformers, you really need to buy up all of the Optimus Primes and Bumblebees and all of the Pegwarmers because of Operation Beehive. There are a lot of kids out there. I work with them. I used to work for a nonprofit. Like when we started doing the show again, I had lots of free time because I worked for a nonprofit, and of course they couldn't pay me overtime. So I got to do lots of awesome stuff. But I got to work with kids, and I really enjoyed that. I actually took the job to help the kids. There are a lot of needy kids out there. You're just shocked at how bad some kids have it. You know, while we may think that, like, all those crappy Bumblebees on the shelves are terrible and all the Optimus Primes are terrible, there are a lot of kids out there that would just love to have them. And you know, sort of helping them out by buying them and giving them away can sort of help all of the fans out by clearing off, you know, shelf space for, like, toys that we really want. So Rob Springer came up with Operation Beehive to sort of help that, you know, happen, help make that happen. JD and I were talking about it yesterday, and we really need to have some sort of incentive to help people out, you know, to encourage people to actually go out and do that. So we're going to come up with something like a goal. I'll announce it during next week's show once we sort of hash that out. We'll probably do something like some sort of crazy stunt show if we meet that goal. One of my favorite podcasts is The Skeptic's Guide to the Universe. They did something like that. They did a 24-hour show. I don't think we'll do a 24-hour show, but we might do a 12-hour show or something one weekend that where we make XV like do the show naked. And
well, I'm already not wearing any pants, so what's the difference?
Exactly. No, nothing like that. But we might do like, you know, something, or maybe like a live 12-hour Google Hangout or something fun. We just sort of have to figure out. If you have any suggestions,
that doesn't sound very fun.
Diecast would love it. So if you have any ideas or any suggestions, you can drop us a line at contact@tfradio.net. or post it on our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/TF Radio. But yeah, we'll do something like that. We don't quite have that fleshed out yet, what the goal is going to be, what the reward will be. But we need to move on that quick because, of course, the holidays are, you know, upon us. And, you know, if you really want to help out and help all the kids, we really need to get those toys bought and donated pretty quickly. Probably, I don't know, by at least December 15th, probably week and a half before Christmas would probably be realistically the cutoff that we would have on that, I would think. Wouldn't you? About probably a week, 2 weeks before Christmas.
So that's fair.
Yeah, we'll give you a couple weeks to actually, you know, to really hit that pretty hard. And, you know, basically buy the toy, send us a photo of the receipt, or send us a photo of you donating it, dropping it off. That might work better. Just something to, you know, let us know that you did it. Rob Springer is actually going to show all of that off on RFC RTM1 on YouTube. That's his YouTube show. He'll be sharing that stuff there. But, you know, send it. We'll calculate, you know, we'll keep track of the goal and see where we hit. And we'll probably have a couple of different goals based on just how generous people are. I'll be participating. I'll be buying some stuff too, which, you know, I'll probably pad the numbers a little bit. But, you know, I think it's for a good cause. It, you know, helps out a lot of needy kids. It helps us out by clearing off the shelves of crap that we don't want. So it's win-win.
Hmm.
I think it's pretty cool. I think it's the best idea that Rob has had since Project Awesome back in 2010. Let's see here. So I had mentioned that, of course, next week is American Thanksgiving, and the day after is Black Friday. Working for a retailer, this is like the biggest thing we do all year. We spend a lot of time preparing for it. Logistics, you know, we spend a lot of time making sure the product is in place so that we can move that product. And like any other, you know, all the other retailers out there, they are prepping like right now to make sure they have enough stock to fulfill all of the demand that will be there. And so, of course, the prices for people who aren't familiar, I think most people are, Black Friday, they have what they call doorbusters, which are products that are priced typically well under the normal retail. Sometimes they have a negative margin. They cost less. We sell them less than they actually cost to bring people in to buy stuff. I don't see a lot this year in the way of really good Transformers deals. A lot of great video game deals. Like we were talking about that before the show. I think I saw an Xbox for like $150. I mean, that's pretty good. I'm seeing HD TVs that are like, I saw it's a 24-inch 720p for like $70. I mean, it's 24 inches. That's the size of the monitor that I'm looking at right here. But I certainly paid more than $70 for it. Of course, it's also a higher res than 720p. If you're just watching like DirecTV or something, that's plenty. But as far as Transformers stuff goes, Walmart has on, and Don in the chat could probably even tell us better if he's allowed to.
He hasn't even seen Walmart's ad yet.
Oh, well, it's at blackfriday.com.
Yeah.
Which is where I found it. On page 18, and I'll pull this up, we have Transformers Creo Kits. Let's see if I can get this on the browser, the screen. Yeah, there it is. We have, it looks like, the Optimus Prime versus Megatron Creo set for $40. That seems like that's a pretty good price to me. I don't know what the retail is on that. I saw that Kmart was going to have it for $15, but I think that had to be like a misprint. But that's the first thing that I saw when looking. Not a lot, though. On page 23 of the Black Friday ad for Walmart, we have the monstrous Optimus Prime weaponizer for, gosh, $33. That's it says here $37.
With weaponizer?
Yeah.
That should only be 30 normally anyway.
Yeah. Even Optimus Maximus should be less than 37 at this point.
Oh, that's Bumblebee. Sorry, Bumblebee, it says it's $33. Optimus Maximus is $30. Why would Bumblebee be 33? I mean, that doesn't seem like a great price to me.
Not for any Bumblebee I'm aware of, no.
No. But Optimus Maximus for $25. I mean, that's...
I thought you just said 30.
No, that's Bumblebee is... Okay, so what they list here... Okay, look... Okay, on the...
Clear as mud.
It is clear as mud. On the photo, it says it's... it's also a very poor scan. It actually says it's $36.96.
Yeah, right. Blame the internet.
Yeah, the internet is... Never mind. So, $36.96 is actually what it says. BlackFriday.info lists it at $29.97. But what I don't get, I mean, they're listing the Transformers stuff here, but they're listing the deluxes at retail, which is $15.47, which, again, is not something that's going to draw me into any store. No. That doesn't really make a lot of sense.
Well, that's Walmart.
Yeah. Now, it's even better at Target. If you look at Target's ad, and literally, I scoured through these ads to find this stuff. I'm actually shocked that there's so few Transformers-related things this time.
I'm not.
Yeah, because there's fewer Transformers.
But
and Transformers are not really hot Black Friday stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, typically...
So last time there was anything notable... Well, okay, last year was a little bit because a couple of the last Power Core Combiner sets got released at Black Friday. But before that, it was like the $20 landfill set at Walmart several years ago.
And that was for Black Friday. Now, Walmart did have, in the past, they would have their, like, packs where they would have like two deluxes together for $15, or like a deluxe and a scout toy for like 12 or 15, and they would actually do the set specifically for Black Friday. I don't see anything like that this year, considering the all the overstock they have of the Prime thing, Prime toys. It only makes sense that they would do that this year. I mean, but I'm just not seeing it. Target's doing. Target has the Rescue Heroes for $7.99. Now the retail normally is what you can usually find this for about $10, $12, depending on the store.
Mm-hmm.
Optimus is definitely worth $8. That's actually, I really love the Optimus Prime from that. Now, the helicopter is Blades, right?
Yeah.
If you can find it, buy it. It's a good toy. I don't like it quite as much as Optimus, but last I heard, it's still, like, really uncommon.
No, it's not.
You can find it now?
You can find all of them now pretty easy.
Okay. But it's still a good toy. I have them both. I really love Optimus, but Blades is not bad. I know JD bought one and ended up selling it for like $30 or $40 on eBay.
Me too.
I guess that cash cow is gone.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Toys R Us. Now this is really what got me. Toys R Us is only listing activators. Like $4 for $20. I'm not even going to show it. Well, I mean, why would I? But activators, $4 for $20.
No, you're reading it wrong. They have a small range of products, and it looks like you can mix and match from those to get $4 for $20.
Okay, all I saw was activators. Again, it's a small scan. It's a low-res scan. Let me go back. But still.
But, I mean, either way, you know, they're trying to clear out their Dark of the Moon crap they can't sell otherwise.
Get back to
yeah,
it.
I was trying to remember what activators actually were. So.
Yeah, exactly. You know, in the past, like for the Transformers animated activators, I really liked those. But some of them, I don't. I mean, like anything that's like since. Actually, I did get a couple of the Dark of the Moon ones around the Wreckers. Because, of course, it's through the Wreckers. But that's pretty much it. Trying to find it. So what were they XV? Were they deluxes or are they cyber? Probably Cyberverse.
No, it was activators, a RoboPower Optimus, and some other crap.
But it was crap.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unfortunate.
It wasn't anything you'd actually buy.
Yes, Transformers is not where it's been. Last year, again, we've talked about it was a bad year for the Transformers brand as far as sales go. But you would think that something would be there. Like I'd mentioned, Walmart had the incentive packs that they've had in the past where they would, you know, basically put two toys together in a cardboard sleeve and, you know, make kids go crazy because they want them. Actually, not really. But I don't know. I'm honestly a little disappointed. I guess the general state of things where there's not any Transformers, you know, as Black Friday deals, I guess kind of says something to the state of affairs for Transformers. It's just kind of
and also the fact that they have made efforts last year and this year to clear out the Dark of the Moon stuff, and it's still there.
Dark of the Moon did come out last year, didn't it?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
It came out rather early in 2011.
Mm-hmm. That sucks.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. As Rob pointed out earlier, his Toys R Us, one of them, still has some Revenge of the Fallen. That came out quite a bit earlier than 2011.
Yep.
Yes.
Man, it sucks.
Well, what are you going to do? It's too late to apologize, Brian. It's already happened. A lot of spilled milk here. Lots of spilled milk.
I'm disappointed. I'm very disappointed. You know, we're sort of caught up in this strange bubble. we have cool things coming out that we're looking to. In the last couple of years, we've had some really cool generation stuff, and there's a lot of third-party stuff that's just generally pretty awesome. But when we look at the core product, it's kind of abysmal.
It's abysmal because they hitch their wagon to the movies so strongly, for one thing. So it gets really awkward to dismount for a year or two. Especially when your show, again, so they started the show with no intention of a toy line, then they decided to put in a toy line, then they realized the show's on a network nobody watches, and the movie's 2 years away. And then you start, you know, looking for a window to jump out of. I don't know. It's tough. It's tough, buddy.
Yeah. I guess, ultimately, if they're going to move Transformers next year, it'll probably mostly be Generation stuff. No wonder they're releasing so many of them.
Yeah, it'd be nice to... It'd be nice if they hyped them up a little bit. Like, I know we've seen quite a... We've seen a fair bit of... We've seen a fair number of stuff that's going to come out. It's a lot of it's Fall of Cybertron, too. So that's kind of a... you know...
At this point, basically what we've seen for next year is everything up until March.
Yeah, and they don't.
And then Beast Hunter starts.
I mean, have they done a good job of hyping the brand, the toys lately, or am I just jaded?
No.
Yeah, it's just like here's some pictures from a toy show, and we'll see you later. It's just not like you know. It's just they don't really like. There's not like hype. Where's my hype?
Is this going to be a make or break toy fair in February for Hasbro and Transformers?
If the last one wasn't, then this one probably will be. Yes. You know, I'm starting to wonder, as we're sitting here talking about all the toys that are still sitting around from 2009 and even occasionally 2007, I'm kind of wondering if we might be past make or break to broke.
Yeah, probably. I mean, because the buyers have already probably put in their orders for most of next year. And so, you know, I mean, all the new toys in the world won't amount to much if there's no shelves to put them on. So
what Toy Fair is basically going to do is set up for the Christmas shopping season next year.
Yeah. I'm still waiting for those frickin' Weebles. Sorry. I'm so pissed off over the...
It's like, okay, buddy.
Was it 2011 when they showed off the Weebles?
yeah, I think so.
Someday, man. Someday they'll sucker a buyer into taking that.
I'm still waiting for the Zeta Gundam toy line from Toy Fair 2003, if that helps you, any.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know, the thing is, Weebles, I don't know if they're... Actually, I was going to say, I was going to say I don't know if they're popular, but considering the most of them that I've seen are at Ollie's, they're probably not that popular. But we are buying up lots of Weebles for the kids for Christmas this year. Kids that we know.
What is the hot toy? Is it Ninja Turtles right now?
I don't know that Ninja Turtles is that hot. I mean,
it's going to be big.
It's doing well, and I've been to a couple of stores lately where the Ninja Turtles section was cleaned the hell out.
That's good.
It may be doing pretty well.
Like, at my local Walmart, it's, like, overflowing with Ninja Turtle stuff because literally nobody's buying it, and they keep getting stock, and it literally falls off the shelf.
That's probably not a bad thing if they get like a crush of people in the next 3 weeks. That's probably good for them.
Paul pointed out in the chat that Nerf is hot. Nerf is always hot. It's kind of like Lego.
Yeah. Tried and true.
It's evergreen.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Lego is doing well. I mean, that's it seems to be one. To me. Because mostly, I think, because of the Avengers stuff. I don't really think that Lord of the Rings has been the be-all and all that they thought it would be. Because, honestly, the only people who care about, like, Lord of the Rings are, like, me. I mean, I'm not the ones out there buying tons of the stuff. I haven't even bought one of the Lord of the Rings kits. The last Lego kit I got was the, it's actually been on the shelf for a while, but was the Luke's Land Speeder kit. And the reason I got it, I didn't want to drop $25 on it, even though it comes with, you know, an Obi-Wan, a Luke, a C-3PO, R2-D2, and a Sand Trooper. But I felt cheated buying it at $25, so I waited to get it on layaway with a bunch of other Christmas stuff, and I just bought it. I paid for it in clumps, and I felt less cheated. But it's still pretty nice, but it's old.
Is it? Oh, okay. Lego's done a great job of essentially becoming like an extension of all these other licenses.
Yes,
you know?
It has.
So there's a Lego this and Lego that, and relatively little of it is actually of their own full creation. So they've been pretty smart about that.
Yeah, their Monsters subline is really nice. I bought some of that, but I think what I'm mostly interested in is like the forthcoming of Marvel stuff, the new Spider-Man set that's coming out. That looks pretty good. They haven't done a lot with the DC brand, which kind of makes me sad.
Well, neither is Warner Brothers, and that's probably not.
That was perfect. Yeah, that's true. But man, yeah, I had grand intentions of like, hey, let's talk about the Transformers deals. They ended up being Transformers are all dead.
The conversation is a funeral, essentially.
Yeah, it is. It's, but you know, I have hope. Of course, Generations is going to be big next year. I'm hoping that we get some interesting things that we haven't seen yet. We've seen quite a bit of it, but I'm hoping that there will be... it makes me feel like an old man and selfish, but maybe more of the homages and classic characters. But those seem to sell. I mean...
Yeah, they sell. I know the third... Look, third party is not the end-all be-all. It's very small, but it is some kind of indicator about at least one segment of the brand. I mean, the other thing, too, is the old stuff, the retro stuff, does play on these riffs that are proven, that have been proven several times over the years, you know?
Yeah, and like Melvar saying, I hope it's not all Fall of Cybertron. Don't get me wrong. I mean, if some of it's pretty cool, but I just really don't want that. They can't hang their hat on that. Again, because
it is. It will be.
I'm sure a frightening chunk of it will be. And it's like, essentially, when you boil it down, that's a line of action figures based on a video game. That's not the greatest model.
No, if I mean, you look
at the history of toys.
No, it's not. No. I mean, if they do their own stuff, have some creativity. Don't try to force a toy based on a model that is. Look at Shockwave. Again, you know, it's a nice robot mode, but it's like a flying nose or something.
It's like Space Blot.
Yeah, it's Space Blot. That's exactly what it is.
If he was that, I would totally buy like three.
Almost the right color and everything too. But, do something fun, original. Don't try to force yourself into any kind of one design. Just do something that harkens back to the character, but, like, have something on the shelf that a kid would want. Yeah, right. That stuff sells.
That's right. Because, spiritually, they belong next to the Halo figures, and that's scary.
Yeah.
Now, remember, we were told there would be 40 Generations figures in 2013. And technically, we've seen almost 20 of them already.
This is true.
Hey.
So, there you go.
Michael Bay, hurry it up. Chop, chop.
Yeah, you know, but unlike, again, we're talking about the Transformers brand at Hasbro. So it's kind of unfair to point out United stuff or things from Takara. But if we get that hard head or that, reflector... You know, it's not going to be on the shelves in the U.S., but at least I'll have it on my desk.
I mean, it may be another exclusive at Toys R Us or something.
I would say that's less likely because when the GDO stuff, they can, ship that out at will because they're producing it. The Takara stuff, they have to have – they probably have to have some sort of different arrangement.
It's going to be an exclusive. It's like – it's like a special, Henkei thing or United thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like with the – it's kind of like with the Masterpiece stuff. There's probably a little more red tape to it. Not a lot of red tape, but probably a little more. But where the GDO stuff, they can just change where the shipment goes to and basically slap a SKU on it and you're done.
And unless they'd come up with two more figures, just two additional figures, it's probably not worth the hassle.
Probably not. Now, if they could start producing them as part of GDO and then just, again, just change the shipping route, that would be pretty cool. I really do want a reflector.
We are old men. We're asking for classics molds. My God.
Yeah.
People.
I'm so
frightened. I like classics molds.
I like them too, but I mean, yeah. we're sitting around just wishing for more classics molds. I don't know what that. I didn't want to be that guy, but yeah. I am that guy.
It's kind of like the guy's like, where's my kung fu grip? enough of these 3 3/4 inch things. I want my kung fu grip and my realistic beard.
You know, I meant to mention this last week. We were talking about Masterpiece Prime and how the, you know, fingers were individually articulated and how, you know, the first thing anybody does with it is to flip somebody off.
Yeah.
I have gotten a few of the old G.I. Joe figures with Kung Fu Grip, and I have never encountered a Kung Fu Grip hand where the knuckle on the middle finger was not worn half away or missing.
Absolutely.
Good times.
Yeah.
That's play value is what that is.
Exactly.
Yeah. And yeah, Cyclone, Toriga said that Sigma 6 had Kung Fu Grip and the line went terribly. I really did want a couple of the Sigma 6 toys. I never picked them up, but I really wanted that Firefly that was in this series, but for some reason I just never went there.
Yeah, yeah, but if you can get it cheap on eBay now.
I bet I could.
Oh, really?
It may not have done as well as some lines, but I doubt it did as badly as G.I. Joe Extreme.
Oh. Or Renegades.
Huh? Renegades. Yeah.
Yeah. How about Renegades?
How about that Retaliation?
Retaliation.
Yeah. G.I. Joe at this point exists to make us feel better about Transformers.
So, I've heard stories. I almost feel bad about doing this. Stories about, like, on the battlefield and, like, ancient times, like, when the battle was lost and the losing army was surrounded, it would take hours for, like, the victorious army to go around and kill every member of the, you know, losing side. And you just sit there and wait to die. It's, like, the worst feeling ever. That's how, like, the G.I. Joe team has to fill with the Retaliation figures going out next year. Because nobody's going to care. I mean, the people who really wanted them have them. The people who don't, like everyone else, aren't going to care. It's just, I really honestly do feel bad for those people. It's kind of like one of those things you just kind of want to get over with. So I'm certain they were swearing at Paramount for postponing that movie. It's because that's just going to count negatively toward their bottom line next year.
Mm-hmm. It's terrible. It's beyond terrible for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't describe how bad that ended up.
And all because they were afraid to go up against Avengers.
Yeah, well.
Silly them. What were they thinking?
You know, honestly,
everybody failed against Avengers.
They probably would have gotten more people who went to see the Avengers, and then the Avengers was sold out, so they decided to go see G.I. Joe. They probably would get more people that way than people just coming in next year to see the movie.
Yeah, I can't imagine, like, the financial performance of that movie is going to be that much better in January.
It won't be.
Especially when you factor in all the cost delay. Or whenever
it's March. Yeah, I was in the movie theater a couple weeks ago to see Wreck-It Ralph. And I noticed that they had the ginormous Retaliation display. I'm like, oh, wow, did they just get that in? Or has that been sitting there for 8 months? And the date on it said, like, March 2013. Then I took a closer look, and it's a sticker. It's just been it's been sitting there for, like, 8 months. And they put a sticker over the date. I mean, you wouldn't want to take that down. I mean, it's awesome. Yeah,
you don't want to put it in a closet because it'll get beat up.
Yeah, it's a nice-looking display. I kind of want it once they're done with it. But yeah, I mean, that's just like a – I don't know. Unless, you know, Channing Tatum is, you know, how do I say this without sounding sad? He's a sought after actor now. His movies do well. If they can more focus on him, there's a chance they can get, you know, some people in there to see the movie. But reportedly, they killed him off very early in Retaliation. So I guess this time around, he'll probably just be in a coma or something.
I believe that actually is the plan.
You know,
that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's, if they can rewrite it a little bit, that would actually be awesome if they did that. if seeing it, you know, he's like, Duke slipped into a coma, I would yell and scream in triumph. that would be fantastic. And I'd be like, I was like, you idiot, why are you doing that? It's like, don't you know what that is? That's a G.I. Joe the movie from 1987. It's an homage, it's a throwback. You don't shut up, fat man. Quit screaming at the movie. Actually, I sort of screamed at the 2009 movie too, but for an entirely different reason.
It was okay. There's nothing wrong with that one.
It was terrible. I mean,
it was terrible, but it was also kind of harmless in its own way. I wasn't offended.
It was terrible.
But it wasn't offensive. Yeah. Terrible.
Yes, it was.
Oh, you're no fun, man.
It's fine.
Yeah, this one looks
no fun. We spent a weekend with him.
Yeah, I'm very excited, though. I do think Retaliation looks fun.
Yeah, when it comes out.
I'll make a point to see it twice. And now, we've completely gone... We're, like, in March now when we're talking about Black Friday. So let's just go ahead and wrap things up. So,
But I think John put it best in the chat when he called it G.I. Joe Regret.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
Oh boy!
Yes, yes. So,
coming soon.
Yes, so that we completely veered off topic there. So that's great. It's like a superhero time. So that
unfortunately it's the Transformers brand, which has segued off a cliff.
That's true. Dom DeLuise is writing it.
Dom DeLuise, the ghost of Dom DeLuise.
Yeah, being chased by like
triple dead Dom DeLuise.
Yeah.
He's a ghostwriter.
That would be the worst ghostwriter film. Actually, it'd be the second worst ghostwriter film ever.
No, he's a ghostwriter.
Oh,
but
sorry.
I would take him as ghostwriter, absolutely. Captain Chaos as a ghostwriter, fantastic.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, so let's go ahead and wrap things up. We'll be back next week. Not live, but we'll be back next week. We'll probably post the show like on Saturday. Oh gosh, that would make it Saturday, which is we usually can't say this, but I'll actually probably have next week's show done by this weekend. We'll post next week's show on the 24th. But this show will probably go up here, I guess, probably Friday or Saturday, but. Yeah, we're going to do we'll have a couple of new segments. Like I said, we'll have the core, and actually we'll have Hoist Goes Hollywood. Amy's going to have comics next week, and there are a couple things that we did in the past that haven't got a lot of play that I'd really like to go back and sort of focus on again. Stuff that when we were doing video before, we didn't get a chance to really put it out. Things to YouTube being, you know, not allowing segments over 11 minutes. So I think there's a good chance that we'll have a couple of surprises as well. So, like I said, we'll be back next week. Week after next, live show will be back. That will be on the 28th. We'll have a live show. For the third party roundup. So, and JD will be back then too. So,
and life can be sacrificed for peace on Earth.
Yes. Oh dear God. Yes. Excited. So again, follow us on Twitter at TF Radio, on Facebook at facebook.com/TF Radio. And guys, you want to throw that out real quick?
No.
Nah.
Go ahead, Rob. Break the mold.
Okay. Follow me at Flail Throughs. You can see at flailthroughs.blogspot.com. You can see my brother blunder his way through a bizarre-ass Japanese RPG about teddy bears.
What is wrong with that game?
I have no idea, but I am actually having to go behind him and play it to see if I can help him get through some of it.
That's so creepy.
Are you doing any better than him?
Occasionally, but only because I know the tiniest pinch more Japanese than he does.
What was the game, Rob?
The game's called Daisuke Teddy. It basically translates to Lovely Teddy. It's a Game Boy Advance RPG about teddy bears, about living teddy bears that you learn to craft bit by bit yourself.
Wow.
That's awesome. That's what that is.
That is insane.
And the cartridge actually comes with a little teddy bear.
Yes. There is an unboxing video on his YouTube channel.
Ooh.
Wow.
Like it.
It would be even... The only thing that would make it better is if, like, the teddy bear only works, like, in the sunlight.
Sure.
Nah, it's like it's like that RPG that only worked in the sun.
Yeah, I got where you were going with that.
Yeah.
Bakai?
That's the one.
Yep. So, okay.
I remember that because they had a Mega Man crossover.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, weird. Huh.
So, real quick, before we go, so live show, if you watch it, occasionally Ustream will insert ads. Paul is saying that the ad that's showing up right now is promoting a product called Virgin. Transformers podcast.
Yes, Transformers podcast.
It's fitting.
Yeah, well,
that's sure. Awesome. Okay, so we'll see you later. Be back next week. Thank you very much. Bye.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. Copyright 2012 TF Radio Network.